That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, everyone? It's Talk About It Friday, but it's not Friday, it's a Saturday special. I usually do a Sunday, but I thought, you know what? Saturday has got to be the day. So I've got Nathan Simmons from the East Sussex Hastings. Hey, what is up, Nathan? How are you, bro?
I am really good, actually. I'm excited to be speaking to you, Wayne.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, man. And, you know, thank you for this opportunity to interview on Talk About It Friday, Saturday special. I usually do a Sunday special. I don't know why I decided to, you know, today. But, you know, whatever. It's going to happen today. So tell us about yourself.
My name is Nathan Simmons. I have been in management and leadership positions for over 20 years. I have worked across multiple industries, across multiple continents. I've worked in organizations, large and small, and have, you know, in the last few years, I'd say a handful of years, probably the last 8 years or so, I've just seen this huge emerging gap in people's development and how much people do and don't care about the people in their organizations. Right. And more so now, I'm getting even more focused and more clear and getting more hands-on with getting involved with businesses, helping individuals take the lead on their careers, helping leaders take the lead as they should be of their teams and their businesses, and helping people do their version of incredible right now.
Wow, that's incredible. So what organizations have you worked with, if you don't mind answering that?
Internally, I've worked in places such as Santander. I also managed the customer services at one point for Time and Fortune magazine and National Geographic when I was living in Amsterdam. More recently, I'm working in the car insurance sector. And then also working in retail and hospitality organizations as well. So I've worked in everything that you can imagine, getting a huge wealth of experience and exposure to what is and isn't working.
Wow. So you've actually done quite a lot then?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount.
Wow. Wow, that's impressive.
Thanks.
So what is it that you actually do? Is this online-based or is this a one-to-one set-up meetings that you do with people around Hastings?
Okay, so yeah, I do have a social media community that I'm now growing. My work is one-to-one, whether that's over Zoom or phone, but also, you know, if it's face-to-face as well. So if you're in the local area, you know, in Hastings, or if you're in London and you want that to be one-to-one, then I'll do that one-to-one. I'm also delivering leadership content as well to organizations. So that's me in their spaces delivering to their teams as well.
Wow, that's incredible. So what would you say is more, you know, being more effective to you? Would you say it's online or would you say it's offline? Did you know Ask Me UK help hundreds of thousands of people with their expert advice and support? Ask Me UK funded world-class asthma research to better asthma treatment. Asthma UK campaign to improve the quality of care received by people with asthma. Let's stop unfair asthma by donating today at www.wayneclark.online. Let's all make a difference by donating to Asthma UK today.
I think it's offline predominantly because you get that emotional response. You can see, feel, hear the reactions that are going on for people, the responses. You can pick up on all the nuances of the body language. At the same time, though, you know, it's even if I'm on Zoom and I'm working with a group of people, it's still about getting the responses back. And so when I'm working in that space, it's seeing what people's faces do, what the questions that are coming up in the chats as well, and being able to respond and work with individuals and seeing how the content shifts and transforms where people are going.
Absolutely. So is it something that is it a business coaching or is it just life coaching?
And this is the complicated bit for me, Wayne. I qualified as a business coach and they said, yeah, you don't do life coaching, you're not a marital coach, you're not a, you know, finance coach, you're just a business coach. Management and leadership coaching is what I qualified in.
Yeah.
Through my life experiences though, I'm 41, I've been around the block a few times, I've got these experiences, I've learned lots of different things, I've read lots of different books and digested a lot of content. What I found is that even when I'm working in an organisation, when I'm working with a leader, it's about tapping into actually what is their core purpose? What is the reason that that person gets up every single day to do what they do? And that's about their life. Then when you kind of do the maths, you probably spend more time at work on a weekly basis than you do actually with your family. So your work is a large portion of your life.
That's true, yeah.
So when I talk to people, I say this is the point where life coaching meets business coaching. Because once you start getting the business piece right, a lot of that will bleed back into your life. And then you'll start using some of the things that I'm teaching you and coaching you on, because it will change the relationship with your wife. It will change the relationship with your children, because you're actually being a bit better leader. And parenting is the biggest leadership journey you'll ever go on.
That's absolutely true. I mean, you absolutely sound genuine. And, you know, I say that because I see so many coaches on the internet, and it's just, sometimes I say to myself, this is ridiculous. You know, this has got to be ridiculous. There's so many, like, it's like everybody's wanting to be a coach.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, what is the fascination with being a coach?
The fascination for me is working in large organizations, or any organization, large and small. When you see that people are not the driving force of what that organization is actually doing, and it's about numbers, and people are constantly chasing bottom line and they forget about the people, and then you look out and you see people in these spaces, and they come in and they punch in, they do their work, they hit the buttons, and then they clock out at the end of the day and they go home. It's saddening and frustrating and inspiring all at the same time. Because I look at these, and I look at the people in these spaces, and I see pure potential in those people. Then when you start to ask the questions, then when you start to probe into, okay, well, what's important to these people? What are their values? What is it they want to bring to the world? And then you start finding out what they're actually designed to do. You know, I'm talking about kind of an epigenetic DNA level, actually, what were they born to do?
Yeah.
And you start peeling back the layers on that, and then you just see this spark of inspiration. You see this fire start to come up in them. And even if it means they take one step and they go and get promoted, or they go and refine their CV, or they push themselves a little bit, or they go and do some charity work, and it just takes them outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Having conversations with people that they've never had before, because no one's ever shown them how to take the lead on their own lives and their own careers, that's the fire for me.
Yeah, because I see that a lot on the internet as well. It's like you see these videos that they're like messages, really. It's like saying to you, like, oh, are you fed up with the way you're living, fed up with the way your life is, you know, all that. Yeah, and, you know, it's everybody wants to be a coach.
Yes. Yes.
Which is quite good. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people like myself that everybody wants to be a podcaster. You know, it's like that. Why not?
Yeah.
The other thing as well is that, have you ever had any awkward clients?
I don't think, I've had some people that have come up in conversations really, and they've really tried to push some buttons for me. And I wouldn't, you know, and they were testing me to find out if I was the right coach for them. And they were really pushing a lot of my buttons. And I was like, well, but they were being quite aggressive about it. It was like, at the same time though, it's an educational piece for me as the coach. Okay, well, who am I as the individual? Who am I in the face of adversity is always the great question. So when you have a client or a prospective client that is pushing your buttons, okay, firstly, are they actually the right client for me? You know, is it going to be more trouble than it's really worth? Secondly, okay, what's this telling me about the way I'm choosing to respond and react here? Okay, am I coming from a place of humility? Am I coming from a place of self-awareness? And actually, what is this teaching me? How do I then redirect this person to the right coach? How do I then stop this conversation without escalating it or you know, contributing to the drama that goes with it?
Right.
And it becomes that. You know, so one of the core reasons I get up every single morning is about challenging people's thinking. Well, actually, I also need to have my thinking challenged by individuals, by coaches, by prospective clients. That way, I can then test out the concepts that I use and the mindset that I have and the things that I've learned. And now if someone applies some pressure on my structure, my integrity breaks under that pressure, then actually, I need to take that information away and go and do some more self-development on myself. I need to go and check that stuff and then redefine it and redefine myself. So those people, as frustrating as they are, they're equally a blessing as well, if not more so.
Wow, that's incredible. So it's not just coaching as well. I mean, you've got a market, right?
Yeah. So that's the challenge is I'm working in three, almost four spaces. So I'm one-to-one coaching and group coaching. I'm also working as a trainer and delivering leadership content and also moving into the speaking sphere as well.
Yeah.
And inside that, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to market. You've got to develop content. You've got to develop conversations. And that means that sometimes you're going to have those challenging dialogues that come up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how do you juggle all of that? I mean, that's quite a lot, right?
What is the phrase that I heard last year? Time serves me, I don't serve time. And it's that whole kind of bending reality and having your own reality bubble and getting clever with your time. So working in an organization, if you're working for a corporate, you're going to be working a minimum of 40 hours a week. Plus, if you're of a certain age or a certain choice, you're going to have family that goes with that. You're going to have hobbies. You're going to have, you know, husband or wife responsibilities as well as parent responsibilities. And then if you're looking to become, say, a so-called entrepreneur or you're looking to start your own business, you have to get super clever and flexible with your time. And I think the biggest leap for a lot of people is when you go from being in a relationship and then you get married and then you have children, you then ask the question, well, what the hell did I actually do with all that time before I had children? Because now, you know, it's just literally been swallowed up and you have no choice about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And when you hit that point, I think it makes you realize, like, oh, actually, how much other time am I wasting? What else could I be doing with my time? Do I know if I want to do learning, you know, audiobooks? So you put Audible on the car, you put your audiobooks on the car. So you're driving, you're filling that space with learning. If I've got a lunch break and I'm working with another organization, that lunch break becomes a one-to-one conversation, potentially with a prospective client or a coaching conversation.
Absolutely. And so you're forever learning, right?
Yes, constantly.
Wow.
Constantly. But yeah, that's the thing. In, you know, where are those dead spaces? And the biggest kick I ever had was I was living in Hastings. I was working in Tunbridge Wells, which is an hour's drive away. I was training martial arts in Brighton, which is another hour back down again. And then when I finished martial arts, it was an hour home again. So it's 3 hours in the car, almost three days a week, definitely doing that, if not 2 hours, 5 days for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
How much learning can you actually do with that? How many podcasts can you download? How many audiobooks can you digest that space? And it's just about getting clever with your time and actually using it in the best possible way. So if you're doing an online course, if you're learning your marketing strategy, download the content. Don't just think you've got to sit there when you get home and watch the video. Listen to it while you're in the car. Listen to it twice to make sure the information really goes in and you embed it.
Exactly. Well, I remember when I started out as an entrepreneur, this is about a year ago now, and I wanted to do everything all at once. I wanted to be an author coach because I learned so much. I was so excited and I was like, I could coach these people.
Yep.
You know, but I could because I've got a lot of knowledge, but it's the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt a lot of pressure doing that.
Well, and the pressure in coaching people or the kind of the overwhelming excitement to go and do everything all at once?
I'd say the overwhelming excitement of doing everything at once.
But your eyes open and all of a sudden you go, bloody hell, actually, there's this wealth of like potentiality to play with. And then you start to see what you're capable of. It's like, well, oh, I could do this and I can do this. Yeah. And I can do this. And then you start thinking, well, actually, you almost have to have this octopus mentality where you have to have eight arms doing eight different things all at the same time.
Exactly.
And you have to be conscious about how much energy you're putting into an individual thing.
Yeah, that's
true. Or how you spread yourself too thinly across all of those things.
Yeah, that's why I recommend, like, for people that want to start business is get a mentor or a coach. I do recommend that. You know, because that's something that I said that to my partner. I said, I wish I invested in a mentor now or a coach, because there was so, as I said, there was just so many ideas.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely. And for those people that are listening to this now, you know, mentors and coaches in some spaces don't come cheap. Yes, you can find certain ones that may help you or give you a piece of information, but it's about making that investment in yourself. It's an exchange of value when you pay for those services. Now, if you're not in a position, or if you're starting out and you've got obligations and expectations and you're having some challenges in that, get yourself a virtual mentor.
Yeah.
And there's two ways to do that. One is you go and find a person that you absolutely adore, you love their content, go and digest every ounce of content they've got from books, audio, YouTube, and just be with that person constantly. The moment they upload something or interview, go and listen to their content and use that stuff to fuel what you're doing. The other way to do it is almost having a virtual board, virtual director's board in your head. So think about characters, people that you respect and rate their thinking, and ask them questions in your own head. You can even use fictional characters. So at the moment, I'm looking at a little Lego statue of Gandalf. I've got Bruce Lee on here as well. Yeah. It sounds crazy, but it's, you know, if you're going into this situation and say you've read Lord of the Rings or whatever, and I've got this challenging situation, what would Gandalf do? You can then ask those questions and get responses back from those character traits, from what that person embodies for you and what they represent, and help you to move through any block you've got or challenge.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, bro.
If you bring it back, the one and say, I'm overexcited, I'm going into overwhelm, I'm like the proverbial Jack Russell puppy that, you know, when everyone turns, it runs around and then, you know, makes a mess on the floor and then runs off again. And it's that overexcitement. It's like, well, what would Gandalf do? And I know this sounds, you know, almost, you know, high fantasy or whatever, but what would he do? How would he structure it? How would he deal with the situation? Would he be trying to take on Saruman and the Balrog at the same time? No, he does one at a time. You know, it's having that process. Okay, what would his suggestion be? What would the next step be? Who would he get involved to help him? What sort of people would he bring to his aid in order to move through this situation? And use that sort of dialogue in your own head to power through some of those situations.
Absolutely. Wow. So there's another question that I did want to get across is, how many successful clients would you say that you've actually had?
Crikey. In a lot of different spaces, in excess of 500.
Whoa.
In excess, because, you know, the reason I say this, you know, it's not about getting out my little black book of all the people that I've worked with. Some of those people have come out of training courses. They've spent a day with me in a training course where I've taught them leadership skills and I've taught them coaching skills. And 3 months later, they're calling me or emailing me and saying, Nathan, thank you so much for what you taught me. I've just gone and got promoted, or I've just gone and changed my job. And they're also the one-to-one clients, or the people that I've worked with that I've perfected this craft in close relationship to, because I've worked with them over a period of time and I've mentored them and I've helped guide them and I've helped them craft their resumes and the conversations and where they're going.
Hmm.
And I see what happens.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's beautiful.
Wow. Do you get any any downtime, like fun time?
So I laugh about this because actually last Saturday I started going into a state of kind of overwhelm, and I believe that overwhelm is a good thing.
Absolutely.
A lot of people, it basically means that you're pushing more weight than you've ever pushed before. You don't go into the gym to lift lighter weights. You know, if you're pushing 50 kilo on a bench press, and I can't even do that, I'm just making numbers up. So 50 kilos on a bench press, and you go to the gym next week and you're only pushing 25, are your muscles going to get bigger?
Hmm.
No. So, and it's the same with kind of the overwhelm thing is, well, actually, the reason you're going into overwhelm is because you're pushing more weight than you've ever pushed before, and you need to kind of enjoy that. The unhealthy bit that comes out of it is if we don't understand what that overwhelm is and what's important. And we need to start to prioritize and delegate and automate to take some of those things out that actually aren't beneficial or that are burning time and taking you away from where you need to be and are slowing your movement down. That's when the overwhelm gets detrimental, if you stay in that space for too long. week I started to go into this space, and I started to feel the kind of the low mood kicking in, and the frustration and the upset coming up. And I asked the question, actually, I need to speak to my wife. I need to talk to her. I need to get an understanding, because my brain isn't switching off. Yeah. It is constantly the next thing. There's this, there's this, there's this, there's the, that, then this. And then you just, okay, hold on a minute. When that's the bit when it gets dangerous in the overwhelmed space. And my wife asked me the question, when do you actually stop thinking? And there's only two times that I really stop thinking. One is when I'm working on the allotment. So for people listening to this abroad, that's a kind of a vegetable patch where I dig soil. Yeah, where I dig soil and grow fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, I'm going to do that soon.
And it's amazing because your brain stops. And yeah, all I do is I focus on digging soil and being one with nature. I can hear the birds singing. I can see the creepy crawlies crawling through the soil as I'm doing things. And my brain just stops. And the other time is when I'm actually exercising or doing martial arts. My brain stops because I go into that space. I can't think about anything else, especially if you're doing martial arts. Crikey, if I got distracted for a second in martial arts, I'd know about it. yeah, and then the other part is kind of the exercise. Okay, if I'm pushing weight, I'm fully in my body doing something with my body, and it stops. It just quietens the brain down.
I might try that one day, you know.
I recommend it.
Yeah, no, because I've always wanted to do like martial arts or something. Not because it's violence or anything like that, but because it's kind of like a meditation kind of thing, is it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it depends what you're doing, though. So for me, I'm not kind of a grappler. There's a big focus on the Brazilian jiu-jitsu scene these days, which is a very healthy thing. If you go back to Greek wrestling, they didn't teach men, I think it was predominantly men in those times, philosophy until they were 30. Now, before then, they would actually teach them wrestling all the way up until 30. So they would teach them the physicalities of dealing with a problem and grappling with a situation.
Yeah.
Then when they got to 30, then they would teach them the actual mental struggle and the mental overcoming of challenge and thought. And this is why we're now seeing kind of the resurgence with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because the philosophy behind it is keep rolling. Now, if you start teaching that to more kids and more adults, actually that changes the dynamic of kind of social awareness and how we improve ourselves massively. The coming out of that, so for me, I do and have done more Kung Fu. So I work Wing Chun when I am training, and capoeira. So I do a mixture of both. Capoeira is very acrobatic, very athletic, very CV. You play music, you sing songs, you play capoeira, you don't fight. Whereas with the Wing Chun, it's very technical, it's very short, it's very efficient. And you learn the intricacies of how your body works on a very minute detail. And by learning these technicalities, it then just helps you to shift your thinking in that meditative state. You take on the philosophy of the movement of the thing that you're being taught physically, becomes a spiritual and a mental process as well.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
It is.
Wow. So the last question that I wanted to ask you is, what advice would you give to those that want to become an entrepreneur?
Do it. There is. So how I break it down is I see that there's four stages of work. There is the work that you're taught to do, the work that you're told to do. There is meaningful work and there is purposeful work. How this breaks down is the work that we're taught to do is school is a post-industrial revolution factory model to create factory workers. And it teaches you to turn up on time, do as you're told, and live up to someone else's expectation. As you shift through this, and it prepares you to go into your 9-to-5 work and do those things, which is great. As the frustration boils up, though, you'll start to feel like you're being told to do a certain type of work. And that's when the frustration comes, because you feel like you're being told to do something and no one enjoys being told what to do. You have a choice, though, whether you can stay in that frustration and point your finger at the system and the way that the model works right then, or you can point your finger to where you're actually going and what you want to bring to the world.
Right.
And that's when you shift to meaningful work. And this is work that is full of meaning to you. These are the things that, when you do them, make you smile. These are the things that you could spend all day long doing and you can lose yourself into. And that's the first stages of actually what am I designed to be doing. And it's when you start plugging into that and unpicking it, well, actually, like, this makes me feel good. Oh, I enjoy doing that. Oh, I could do that all day, every day, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing any work. Because it's so, you know, it's that thing. When you start plugging into that, when you get into the entrepreneurship, okay, if we start tapping into some of that, what is it I am designed to do? What is it I am designed to be bringing? And how do I expand that and scale that so it becomes, you know, a sellable service or a commodity to someone, something of value to someone else, yeah, which supports me giving that to the world and rightfully and making a fair exchange of money for that and growing what I do so I can help more people. So for the entrepreneurs, tap into that, go and do it and become that solution.
Yeah, before we do go, I did want to drop some value down as well. When I first started out as an entrepreneur, I didn't know nothing. And as I started, you know, connecting with people, I was learning some things that I never thought that I would be learning, that yep. I never thought that I'd be good at. Like, for instance, I never thought I'd be good at writing books. Now, I'm not 100% great, but, you know, I never thought that I would design my own book covers, for one.
Yep.
To websites, to podcasting, all of that stuff that I have learned through connecting with great people.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, you have this energy, you have this thing inside you, and I've done it with, you know, procrastinating about something. Oh, I don't enjoy doing that. Oh, I'm not technical. Didn't do it for 12 months and wasted my time making the movement. And all of a sudden something changed. It's like, well, actually, now I know this piece of small information, I need to go and do that. And I've wasted 12 months, you know, actually you've got this fire inside of you. You've got an ability. You've written a book. Now, what percent of people who say they're going to write a book actually write a book?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few that said it and don't.
Yeah, and you've done it. Yeah, and you've already made that step. You've already got that level of learning, which, you know, 99% of the people that are out there that say they're going to write a book have never done. They've never taken that step, and you've done it. Therefore, you're a leader in your space already. You're an expert in your field because you've actually done that. And you've designed your own book cover with it.
Yeah.
And it's about constantly pushing that. You know, these people say, they're looking at entrepreneurs and they say, oh, they're special, they're different, they're unique. No, they're just the person that put one foot in front of the other and decided they were going to do it.
Absolutely.
So if you've got that idea and you've got that fire, add fuel to it and keep doing it.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, Nathan, I really appreciate you coming onto our show, bro. And you've been absolutely awesome. You've dropped down tons of value for a lot of people as well. Don't forget, guys, that you can check out the description and check out Nathan as well. Hire him as a coach, man. Honestly.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's all right, bro. And I'll catch you up after the show, yeah?
For sure. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, bro. Take care.